A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them, "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismiss them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net over on the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in the like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. As you probably know, we have a baptism today. And so, Claire and Dylan and Parker, you have a special dispensation. You can fall asleep during the homily. In today's gospel, we see a human flesh and blood side of Jesus after the resurrection. Through this physical presence, Jesus shows the apostles that he is truly with them in both body and spirit. Jesus appears on that Galilee beach to make sure that his apostles know that he hasn't forgotten them. And more importantly, even though they may have wavered in their faith, that he was there to invite them, to call them back to the service of God. Christ especially wants to make sure that Peter, to whom he would commit his entire church, that Peter knows that he's been forgiven, that he's loved, and that he, Peter, must pass on that love to all the members of this new community of faith. Today's gospel lesson is about love and about forgiveness. A story. Back when my sons were young, and I'm sure many of you have or are coaching their little league baseball teams. The first team I coached was called the Browns, and they were called the Browns because we had brown uniforms. And we weren't very good. As a matter of fact, we didn't win a game during the entire season. There was one boy on the team who I especially remember. He was a big kid, we'll call him Eric, whose single mom insisted that Eric play baseball. Now, Eric could not hit a baseball for all the tea in China. And playing baseball was probably the last thing on his mind behind eating, and Donkey Kong. Now, every time Eric came up, he struck out. And in those days, all the children who are on the team had to play at least two innings. So every time he came up, he struck out. And towards the end of the season, The other kids would just roll their eyes and shake their head when Eric came up because they knew that they were three swings away from an out. Well, in the last game, the very last game of the year, Eric came up to bat for the last time that season. He swung wildly at the first two pitches and missed by a mile. But on the third pitch, a pitch that bounced in, Eric's totally uncontrolled swing somehow made contact with the ball, and he smacked it high into the air. Now, the other team's right fielder, I think, was either trying to catch grasshoppers or something out in the outfield, and he had no idea the ball was coming, and it got by him. Eric raced towards first and then to second, and as he headed to third, and I was coaching third, I could see there were tears in his eyes. He rounded third, and he stopped right before home plate. He jumped up and with both feet landed on home plate, and he raised his fists and looked thankfully towards heaven. The rest of the team came out of the dugout and hugged him and peppered him with pats on the back. All of Eric's failures at the bat were forgotten. At that moment, everybody loved Eric. Don't we all want to be loved? Don't we all want to have our bad swings forgotten? As badly as Eric would strike out in our baseball games, Simon Peter had struck out very badly during Christ's Passion. He had completely missed the ball when he denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but on three occasions. At this beach scene, Jesus physically appeared to show his faith in Peter and to equip Peter and all the apostles with the essential quality that they would need to forever hit faith-type home runs. He appeared to ensure that they would love just as Christ loved them. The parallel in the Passion and at this beach scene is quite evident. A charcoal fire around which Peter stood when he denied that he knew Jesus is now replaced by a charcoal fire on this Tiberian beach. Here, Jesus offered Peter another opportunity, a second chance to show his love. Jesus, as a matter of fact, gives Peter three opportunities at professing his love, one for each time he denied Jesus. It was touching that Jesus asked simply, "Peter, do you love me?" Today, 2,000 plus years later, Jesus asks us that same question. Are we ready with an answer? Why were those apostles on that beach anyway? Can you picture them kind of moping around after the tomb was found empty? Not so very convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, and wondering if the kingdom of God that Jesus had promised them was coming. When out of anxiety, fear, frustration, maybe even boredom, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." At least six of them jumped at the opportunity to join him. Fishing was part of who they were. It was something they knew about, something they at one time were very, very good at. But apparently, they had lost a little bit of their fishing edge after 3 years of following Jesus and fishing for men, because after a whole night of fishing, they hadn't caught a thing. Then an apparent stranger called out from the shore, suggesting that they move their nets. Now, it was common in those days for fishermen, for a couple of them to go out in the boat and one of their cohorts to stand on the shore. And he would be able to look at the shallows and see where the schools of fish were, and then tell his cohorts in the boat where to put their nets. Well, Jesus did that, and the apostles listened. Yes, the apostles listened to him, and this time they caught a large number of fish. And more importantly, they finally recognized the stranger as our Lord and our Savior. The miracle in this entire gospel story is not the number of fish that was caught. It's the physical presence of Jesus being recognized by the apostles. The apostles finally were aware that Jesus was back with them. We know that by the time the disciples got the boat to the shore, Jesus had already begun cooking the fish and the bread. He asked them to bring their catch. Now that catch symbolizes all those who would be brought to the church through the apostles and through their apostolic successors. Jesus said, bring that and be part of our Eucharistic meal. Jesus himself cooked the breakfast. He again was being the servant, just like he had done when he washed their feet at the Last Supper. Now, we don't know exactly what this fishing trip tells us about the state of mind of the apostles. Were they still in shock, confused over the passion and the death of Jesus? Did they wonder how they would continue as disciples? Did they wonder what it meant to be a disciple? We do know that that fishing excursion, that Jesus called them again, as he first had done when he started his public life. Jesus often calls us more than once. He knows that sometimes we get confused about our faith, we hesitate, we avoid those sometimes difficult faith-related decisions we have to make. And so Jesus comes again and again and calls us to forgive us and to love us. For all his sometimes inappropriate questions and comments, Peter was always loved by Jesus. From the first time he saw him at his father's fishing boat until here at the end, Jesus asks Peter, come, follow me, and if you love me, feed my sheep. Do we thank our Lord for his repeated calls to come back to him and for his complete mercy? Do we regularly pray that, like Peter, we'll possess the grace that will allow us to love, and that when called upon, we will feed his sheep? So when Jesus asks us, do you love me? Will our answer be, yes, Lord, you know we love you? Or will our sometimes flawed actions speak louder than those words? Jesus, as he gathered the disciples who scattered after the resurrection, gathered them because he loved them. Jesus is always willing to gather us, even though we scatter, desert, or deny him. If we know that Jesus loves us, how can we show our love to him? We can show him by making the Eucharistic meal that we're going to share today and that we share each Sunday, a meal that began at the Last Supper and is continued at this beach breakfast barbecue, the most essential meal, the most essential staple of our Christian lives. Can you hear Christ asking, do you love me? Can we hear ourselves saying, yes, Lord, you know we love you. If you do, then feed his sheep. Today, each of you can help feed 3 new lambs by opening your hearts and enthusiastically welcoming Claire, Dylan, and Parker, who are going to be baptized today. And they'll become new members of our Catholic community, a community of faith. Welcome them. Feed them.